It is so wonderful to have with us a good friend of the program, longtime pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City, also a best-selling author. Jim Cimbala is joining us this morning. Hi, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you all today?
Good.
We are doing fine, and we're claiming you as one of our locals down here since you have a house in Tampa Bay. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine. I enjoyed the time I got stuck down there during the pandemic, but we've been praying and watching with great concern those images coming from Fort Myers and all those places that were hit so hard. And I really applaud your efforts there to send help to those who are still in need.
Hmm. Yeah. Have you seen the condition of your home? Did you sustain any damage here?
No, we have a home in Odessa, right on the outskirts of Tampa, and Ian made a turn and seemed to have missed Tampa and where we are, so we just got wind and rain from what a picture sent to me by the brother who kind of watches our house. But the others, you know, it's one of those things where you're happy it didn't hit your house, but yet your heart goes out to those that it made a direct hit on. So,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's a very difficult moment to live through if you're in Florida.
It definitely is. And so for folks who are listening here this morning, I can't think of a better guy to encourage them than you. You know, how do we process all of this? We, you know, first of all, we're overwhelmed. Many folks are just overwhelmed emotionally, psychologically, physically. What are some things that, as a pastor, you would like to say to them here this morning?
Well, first of all, what comes to me is something in the last 5-10 years has been so real, which is life can only be lived one day at a time. Yesterday is gone. We can't do one thing about it. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. And many times we're anxious about tomorrow and nervous about what if then and a week from now and a month from now. Or we're looking in the back and regretting mistakes or things people did to us or even hurricanes that went through us. And we forget that today, the Lord is with us. This is the only day He's given us that we can rejoice and be glad in Him. And when Jesus taught us to pray, He said, pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. He doesn't give bread for early November. He gives bread just for today. And that's the way it is with grace, peace, wisdom, discernment, direction. He just gives it today. So we have to not worry about what if this happens and that. Just today is the only day we can walk with the Lord and help us. And then even though the circumstances seem so overwhelming, there is that promise in Philippians 4:6. First, it's a command, and then it's a promise. Be anxious about nothing. And the literal Greek really there is don't worry about a single thing, not even a single thing. Do not worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, tell God what your needs are. Present your needs to God. Just today, what do we need today? What help, what wisdom, what supply of finances? What do we need? God, I'm going to give it to you. Because if we carry it, we become nervous wrecks and get depressed. But if we give it to Him, listen to the beautiful transfer. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your needs known to God. And we can always thank Him because we're alive today, and there is always something to thank Him for. And the peace of God, here's the vaccine, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. So if we go to the Lord in simple, humble, childlike prayer and trust, He has promised, I'll get you through today, supply your needs, and so importantly, give you the peace that nothing in this world can give you. It's my divine peace.
Yeah, we've been camping out in Philippians chapter 4 here this morning, haven't we, Kate? As a matter of fact, that's for sure. And what a moment this is, an opportunity for us. Whenever there's a crisis, there's a tremendous opportunity for us as followers of Jesus and also as the local church to reach out to people and open doors. We need to be bold in not only helping folks with their temporal needs, but we really need to give them the bread. We need to give them the gospel. This is so vitally important, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Because it's another reminder, as you said before, the pandemic was one, but this is another reminder of how fragile, how vapor-like life is. And a lot of us live like everything's guaranteed and we're going to live forever. And this is a great moment for people to be reminded. We have a lot. How long will we live? We're not sure. My mom died recently, 104 years old. But that's nothing, 104, compared to eternity. And everyone is going to spend eternity either with Jesus or away from him. So what a great moment to share the good news of Christ.
Yeah. You know, and I think it was supposed to come to Tampa Bay, but it went to Southwest Florida. This is the second time that happened with a big storm. But we, as bad as we feel, it's not like God spared us as much as it just happened to them. You know what I mean? There's no reason to feel like God's coming after you with hurricanes.
No, no, of course not. And there's all kinds of occurrences in the New Testament. There was a famine in the land, and when Paul was preaching the gospel and starting churches, and he raised money to support the Christians who were affected by the famine. Well, the famine hit Judea and that area, and it affected Christians too. These are things that are part of life. We don't understand them. When we see the Lord, we'll get a better view of this whole thing. But problems come, and in these problems, it's not God coming after us. It's another opportunity to hold on to him and trust him through it. And we'll understand it, like the song says, we'll understand it better by and by.
By and by. Pastor Jim Cimbala with us here this morning, and he's got a new book out, and he's going to, Jim, hang on. We're going to be talking about that here in a couple of minutes. It's called Fan the Flame, Let Jesus Renew Your Calling and Revive Your Church. This is a great book. Everything Jim writes, I read. That's the bottom line. And I want to make sure we highlight this new release because it's one of his most important books, along with Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, which is an all-time classic.
Yeah.
So he's going to be with us for a few more minutes. Kurt and Kate Mornings on Moody Radio. We're really glad you're spending some time with us. Jim Cimbala is our guest here this morning, longtime pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. Also best-selling author, and speaking of which, Jim, I just looked you up on Amazon, your new book, Fan the Flame, Let Jesus Renew Your Calling and Revive Your Church. It's a number one bestseller in Christian preaching on Amazon. Congrats.
Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you very much. That's good news. I didn't write it to sell a lot of books or make money. The royalties go to the church, as with all my books. But I got a deep, deep burden for pastors, meeting with them, oddly, in Florida over 16 months. We went down on March 8th for 4 days of a little R&R, and it turned out to be 16 months. And while I was there, and the church was closed here, and we were doing online services, I was meeting with pastors in our home there in Odessa every week, for Baptist pastors, Assembly of God, Church of God, Southern Baptist, Latino brothers, interracial group of leaders, and just week after week hearing their stories and their discouragement level, confusion level, which is often hid when they're behind the pulpit. But the polling is 42% of all the pastors in America, this is the data, would leave their job tomorrow if they could only get a job with benefits to cover their families.
Wow.
That's how deep the discouragement is. That's a big number, and that's who admit it. That's a big number. So I got burdened, and I felt the Lord open up something in Acts 20 in a new way to me, Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders. So I wrote Fan the Flame as an encouragement and analysis of ministry for serious Christians, leaders in churches, regular believers who want to know, how can we keep going on strong and not give in to the big D, discouragement, depression, and kind of quit the race and run out the clock instead of running the race?
So the landscape has changed a lot since the pandemic. We're still dealing with that. A lot of folks maybe haven't even returned to in-person worship because they got used to watching, you know, online. I think that that phenomenon is still out there, and I think that might be part of the reason why some pastors are discouraged, because it's a slow buildup to what it once was.
Yes, and then two other things. A lot of folks, it's as if God shook the tree, and the fruit that wasn't really connected fell by the wayside. So they're not coming back, but they're not watching online, or they're taking some kind of lazy route rather than meeting together with believers, although there are some with legitimate concerns. But the other thing that happened during the pandemic, it's clear as day to pastors, and the stats show it, the soft underbelly of the evangelical church was revealed, that most people do not identify first as believers, as Christians. They identify by race. I'm white. No, I'm black. No, I'm Hispanic. Or, no, I'm Fox News. I'm right wing. No, I'm CNN. I'm left wing. And social media just is the arena where people attack one another who are Christians, including pastors. I can't tell you how many pastors told me, some with tears in their eyes, how they were attacked not for preaching false doctrine, but for differing on their political position from what the other folks were. And that's tragic. It's sad, but it shows that instead of identifying as Christians first, that's my brother, that's my sister. All right, how they look at vaccines or masks or whatever is different than mine. But that's my brother or sister in Christ. Yeah. We're going to spend eternity together. No, it's attack mode. And that has revealed the lack of maybe depth or real attachment to Christ that we ought to have, because division is supposed to be found in the world, but Jesus prayed, Father, that they might be one, even as we are one.
And we're talking about storms revealing things. It can squeeze out of you what's inside of you. And so God allowing storms perhaps to prune the church as the body of Christ. When you were down here for so long, did you have the opportunity to visit some churches in Tampa Bay?
I did. Carol and I did for the first time in decades. We're so busy here in Brooklyn. And Brooklyn was just, and New York City was so devastated by spikes that you can't believe. And Florida was different. But we visited churches, and then I started to get invited to speak at some. So I went to places where I think God is really blessing and they're preaching the word. I went to other places down in Florida that I'm not sure if Peter, James, and John came back, and Paul, they would recognize what's become of the Christian church. It was more a pastor as life coach and an hour of entertainment and not really, in my judgment, touching the heart. You know, when Jesus walked with those two men on the road to Emmaus after he was raised from the dead, they didn't know who he was. After he disappeared, sitting down and breaking bread with them, and then he disappeared, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us when he opened the scriptures along the way?
Yeah.
And what we need today is a revival of burning words, not condemnatory, not legalism, but words of the truth from the Word of God, the gospel of Christ, anointed and under the power of the Holy Spirit. So people's lives are changed, and that has to start in the heart. And if we just have superficial church, superficial ministry, we're not going to be pleasing to God, and the culture will evangelize us rather than us evangelize the culture.
You know, a lot of pastors are like, okay, well, numbers. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. This has been an issue for a long, long time. I've got the pressure to grow my church, the numbers. How can I keep them coming back? What you attract them with is what they stay for. That can be dangerous. I think you're kind of hitting the nail on the head with that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I learned more than ever before while I was down there that it's a total numbers game. The goal is, as one of the, unfortunately, the church growth movement has brought a lot of negative stuff into church. For example, the main goal for a lot is, how do I get that first-time visitor back next Sunday? That's it. Mm-hmm. Is the vibe, skinny jeans and a fog machine, the length of the meeting, what we talk about, how do I get them back next week? And nobody has thought of that. since the Reformation. No one has thought that. Every man and woman of God who ever was used in a signal way had this thought. How do I bring them to Christ?
Yeah.
Yes.
They might die.
Exactly.
They might die in a hurricane during the week. And I'm just aiming at getting them back. But, you know, when Israel went to Canaan, they were warned by God, don't let the gods of the land, Canaan, the Canaanite gods, Molech and Baal and Asherah, don't let that invade the worship, the pure worship of God. And we have gods in our culture, and one of them is success. And success is measured by numbers, money, and plant, your venue. So a lot of people are aiming at just compromise the gospel. Don't do it the way Paul did it, the way it's outlined in the New Testament. Just give people what they want. But at the end of the day, that will not end well for any of us.
Hmm.
Yeah.
This is so important. It's hard for us, Jim, to talk about these things because we don't want to be negative when it comes to the local church and the body of Christ. But you see, we also don't want to be quiet about something that's very important because we have to ask ourselves, what's at stake here? These are people who need to know Jesus. You know, the gospel doesn't need to be hidden and then brought out later, you know, bait and switch. It needs to be at the forefront. And honestly, the gospel, the Lord, God, you know, our Heavenly Father, He doesn't need props, does He? He doesn't need, like you said, it's not
gimmicks.
Necessarily, yeah, it's not bad if, I guess, if somebody uses a fog machine and wears skinny jeans. But, you know, what are you giving them in the message? And it's tough. You don't want to be overly critical, but it's important to say something, isn't it?
Yeah, well, see, the whole mental positivism of our culture has just captured us. Jesus wrote 7 letters to 7 churches in the book of Revelation. No one could love churches more than Jesus. No one. That's impossible. He is the embodiment of love. But Jesus didn't say, yo, it's just great. Everything's fine over there. No, like you would a child or like a doctor who has a patient come in. He never tells the patient what they want to hear. He takes tests and then he says, look, cholesterol sky high. I don't like your blood pressure. You need to drop 30 pounds. And nobody can say to the doctor, hey, doc, that's so negative. I didn't come in here and pay good money to hear all this negative stuff. Just give me a little red pill and I'll be fine. No, the doctor has a Hippocratic oath that says, tell them the reality of the situation. Why? So that they can then get a cure. And the Lord, when he wrote to, let's say, Laodicea, he said, you're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. Hey, I don't want to hear that I'm lukewarm. I didn't come here on Sunday to hear that. But see, that's the thing that's beguiled us. We're not saying what God wants us to say in love. We're saying what we think the people want to hear. Hey, you're great. I'm okay. You're okay. But when things are not going well and when we compare our churches with the New Testament model and people are not being converted, the average church attendee goes 1.8 times a month to church right now in America.
Well,
so what are you going to do with that number? You can't, if there's a difference between faith and fantasy. You can't fantasize and say, oh, everything's great. No, I think there's some very dangerous trends happening, but God has the answer. It's not like the Lord is in heaven saying, oh, what am I going to do with secular humanism or whatever? No, the gospel is the power of God.
Amen.
You preach it. See, when Jim shows up here, he brings the heat, and he also preaches, which we absolutely love. Jim, thank you. I know you're quite busy, and it's always an honor when you can spend some time with us. We appreciate you. Fan the Flame is the name of the book. I've got a link up at Kurt and Kate Mornings on the Facebook page, and we just scratched the surface. Trust me, there's a lot of good stuff there. Jim, many blessings to you and your family.
Okay, blessings on you. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
You bet.
Bye.